Hello and welcome to the Gathering's Message of the Week. Thank you for listening. It is our prayer that through these messages, God would inspire, challenge, and encourage you. For more information about our church, please visit gatheringtohim.org. That's gathering, number two, him.org. Enjoy and be blessed.
I like this. There's some shifting going on with it where everybody's sitting. I like that. That's new, shaking things up a bit. You know, you just feel free to do that. You know, you want to move around. That's great. I remember Frank Harvey came in one time. He said, change. Change is good. He said, just change something, anything. Just do something to bring change. He said, whatever it is, change something. And he says, just change for the sake of change. So the reason that he's saying that, or the reason he said that years ago, is because we have a problem. We get into a place where we get caught in this tradition where we, you know, it's a rut for us. And sometimes it affects us spiritually. You know, we do the same things over and over and over again, and we don't really allow God to bring change in our life or change in this place. Also, if you do that on a regular basis, then whenever real change happens, let's say, like, we say we're going to move the nursery to another location, you won't get too upset about that, you know, because change is what God does. He's always moving us and changing things. And so this morning, not talking about change so much, but I do want to talk about something that came up in our worship, which is peace. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It's just one verse. And it says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. The NRSV says, pursue peace with everyone. Pursue peace with everyone. The word pursue is dioko in the Greek. The word dioko means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing, to seek after earnestly. Okay, so it means to pursue means to run swiftly after a person or a thing. In other words, you're trying to catch that person or thing, or to seek after earnestly. So this isn't something that is taken lightly according to God. God is wanting us to actually pursue peace with everyone. And I just want to discuss this idea of peace. We're going to embark on a little bit of a journey here over the next several weeks, leading up to Ken and Kay's arrival. Whenever they get here, we're going to be talking about parenting. But before that, and leading up to that, we're talking about relationships in general. And so we're going to take some time to do that, and all kinds of relationships we're going to cover. North, south, east, and west. It's going to be in every direction. So all relationships. But here's what I want to say is that God wants us to work for peace with everyone. This is a blanket statement because he says everyone. Work for peace with everyone. Pursue peace with everyone. So that means we should be running swiftly after peace. We should be trying to catch peace, make it happen in our relationships. We should be seeking after it earnestly. Not just treating it like it's something that's flippant or maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but we should be working for peace. It's our job. It's not somebody else's job. It's our job to work for peace. Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. So we have a job to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, our job to create peace, to make peace, I should say, to make peace is not possible without God. Peace begins with God. Peace begins with Him. There's no way to do this apart from Him. Peace with others, if we're going to have that, if we're going to have peace with it, we're supposed to work toward that, but if we're going to have peace with others, there first has to be a peace in us. We can't have peace with others in our relationships if we don't have peace in us. I mean, you know the drill. Anger, resentment, pride, jealousy, bitterness. Hello? All of that stuff comes spewing out. Jesus said, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and most of the time, this thing becomes a weapon. And we lose peace in all of our relationships. It's easy to lose peace. It's easy to forsake peace because of all of this selfish junk that's going on the inside of us. All of this brokenness is taking place on the inside of us. But peace with others must take place first. It begins with first having peace in here. And peace in here doesn't begin until we have peace with God. You can't have peace in here unless you have peace with God. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. Not like what the world gives, but peace I want to give you. Peace I give to you. It's a gift. God wants to give us peace. It's not something that he expects us to achieve somehow, but it is a gift from God. But it begins with God. It can't happen any other way. So peace in our hearts is ultimately a result of right relationship with God. Peace in here. Luke 18. I'd like to take you there to Luke 18. This is verses 9 through 14. And this is kind of a common story. We've used it a lot. But Jesus is going to tell us a story. He says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. And I give you a tenth of my income. He didn't say anything about pride, obviously. Good thing he didn't say that. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's only one of those two guys that got justified before the Lord that day. In other words, what it means to say is that there's only one of those two guys that their relationship was made right before God that day. There's only one. It wasn't the guy who stood there and went over his resume of all the good things that he was able to do and accomplish. That wasn't the right guy. It was the guy who laid before God all of his junk, all of his problems and his mess. He said, God, I'm not worthy even to lift my head. I'm not worthy, to even call on your name. This is how I feel. I'm not worthy. And the reality is this. This guy who had the resume missed one major thing. You know, he's talking about all these things that he was doing and making himself right before God, correct? The reality is that he had missed one big thing. It was his pride. And here's what God is basically saying in this passage. It isn't what you do. It is about coming to God in humility. Because the Bible is very clear, no one does good. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, if that isn't your base belief, you're going to have trouble in your relationship with God. If you don't understand that we all need a Savior, you can't receive salvation. If we can't understand that, if we can't come to this place because pride is standing in the way, you understand that pride is the very first sin. Pride is the very thing that casts the devil out of heaven. Lucifer lost his place, lost his right to be there because of pride. And I'm sure that God was patient with him. Because he's patient. It's his character. Peace with God comes from humility. comes from humility. Now, ironically, it's how peace comes to all of our relationships. So peace that we want from God comes by humility. In other words, the brokenness to recognize that I am broken. The humility to stand before God and say, God, I need you. I need a Savior. I need someone to forgive me of my sin. I need your healing in my life. I need your forgiveness. Peace with God comes from humility. You're not going to get peace in your life without that. In other words, recognizing your sin. A lot of times the gospel is sold really cheaply. And we tell people, you know, if you come to Jesus, he'll make your life da 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 da. He'll do all these things for you. The truth is, the beginning of the gospel is merely this. It's not selling him, you know, at some other cost. The reality is this. We are sinners who are broken, and we need a Savior. We have been separated from God because of our rebellion, our pride, our selfishness, our foolishness, and we need a Savior. If we sell the gospel based on, oh, that he'll make your life, all of these things, they miss the point. The foundation is missing. And when the first time that they feel like God isn't coming through on how their life should be perfect, they're going to hit the door. God is interested in humility. In fact, humility is what he's after. The scripture tells us there's so many passages. This passage is repeated in so many ways. God sets his face against the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I mean, it's humility. Humility, that's the beginning of good understanding, right understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, to fear the Lord is to humble yourself and say, he is all powerful, I'm not. He's righteous, I'm not. He's holy, I'm not. The fear of the Lord. And here's what I want to say, is that in every relationship, there will likely come a time when you will either be the assailant or the defender. Every relationship, there is likely going to be a time when you're either going to be the offender or the offended. In every relationship, there is likely a time when you're either going to be persecutor or the persecuted. Romans 12:18 says, do everything as far as it lies within you to live at peace with everyone. Do everything as far as it lies within you to live at peace with everyone. In other words, you can't control what everybody else does. You can't control what the other person does, but you're going to be one or the other. You're either going to be the offender or the offended, and you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility in this. You can't change them, but you can change you. So we have a responsibility to walk in truth, in light, in humility, so that relationships may have peace in them. Do everything as far as it lies within you to live at peace with everyone. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Isn't it interesting that peacemakers are the ones that get recognized as his children? Peacemakers are sons of God. He says, those are my children. They're the ones that work for peace. Why is that so characteristic of who God is? Because when he died on the cross, he was not wrong, but he was working for peace between us and himself. Praise God that he did that, because you and I would be helpless. We'd be destitute, destined for loneliness, not just, you know, the think about hell. We oftentimes think about flames and fire, but I want to tell you something. Hell in itself will be bad enough if we're just alone in the dark with no voice from God, no word from God, no presence of God. That would be bad enough. But God wanted to restore us to Him. And so the very first thing that He does in restoration is to take our place. And that's basically humility. To humble yourself. Jesus humbled Himself. The Scripture tells us that though He was in a high position, though He was equal with God, He didn't count equality with God as something to cling to, but instead He made Himself nothing, took the place of a slave, humbled Himself even unto death on a cross. And because He stepped down from His high position and He did that for us, God said, you know, I will elevate Him to the highest position. I will elevate Him to the highest position. He did that, and God said, because He did that, He will forever be exalted. Blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons of God. We look like Him when we act like that. And that's what drew us to Him. The Bible tells us that we need to be convicted of sin, right? That's the first step. But it's His love that leads us to repentance. Is it easier for a relationship to be restored when you two are fighting and bickering and squabbling, or when one person comes and says, in humility, I was wrong? Is it easier for you to turn and have the relationship restored that way? When you guys are still holding out on each other, bitter and offended. We have to do everything as far as it lies within us to live at peace with everyone. It doesn't matter which side of the relationship you find yourself on, offended or offender, assailant, right? Or defender, persecuted, or the persecutor. Doesn't matter which side of the relationship you find yourself on, because you are responsible to pursue peace. We, each of us, are responsible to pursue peace, work for peace. And it begins with humility. All relationships, everywhere. Friendships, people in the world, with people in the church. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's in your home. Doesn't matter if it's husbands and wives. Doesn't matter if it's mothers and fathers with children. Children with mothers and fathers. It doesn't matter. It is the same over and over and over again. Your roles might be different, but the reality is humility is the answer. The litmus test for humility, what is it? Can you admit that you're wrong? Can you admit that you're wrong? Here's another one. Can anyone correct you? Here's another one. When you have been genuinely offended, genuinely offended, somebody did you wrong, can you offer forgiveness? Can you offer forgiveness? Listen, if you can't do any one of those three things, there's an issue of pride. You can cut it up, slice it, do whatever you want. Smoke it, cook it, bake it. Doesn't matter. It's the same. It really doesn't matter. It's the same. If you have an issue with any one of these things, you have an issue with pride. If you cannot forgive someone when they have offended you, whether they have actually done something wrong or not, if you can't offer yourself up to someone and have them correct you, and you can't admit that you're wrong, I'm telling you, there's an issue of pride. And the reason I know it so well is because I've dealt with that all my life. Listen, everyone has taken a drink of that stuff, and it's poison. Somewhere along the line, we have all felt the right to be right. and it doesn't really matter. I have felt like I needed to die on hills all my life just to be right. Doesn't work that well. You end up with all kinds of problems in relationships. And, you know, God will humble us. I've told this story. I hope my wife isn't offended, especially, you know, by the way, I just want to honor my wife because she is having a big birthday tomorrow. I won't tell you how old. She certainly is. She is pretty. She is wonderful. She's loving. She is kind. She has been great support in my life, and I am very, very thankful for you. But I'm going to tell a story. And it goes something like this. We were in an argument over a little bit of nothing. It was a big argument over a little bit of nothing. And this little bit of nothing just kept getting bigger. And I knew that I was right in this situation. And because I was right, I was going to see it through to the end. And so we were arguing and fighting and squabbling. And I knew that I was right. And finally, we were so upset with each other, we parted ways. And I went before the Lord because it's something that I did often, you know, throughout our marriage, and still do it today. If there's something wrong, I feel like there's no peace in our home, I have to go. Lord, help us. Restore peace. And I'm praying, God, restore peace in our marriage. Restore peace in our relationship. And I kept praying this, and finally, I actually heard the voice of God speak to my spirit and say, go and tell her you're wrong. And I said, well, that's not God, because I'm not wrong. And I just began to pray, God, restore us, restore our relationship, over and over again, was praying. And God said, go tell her you're wrong. And I said, I don't understand why you would ask me to go tell her I'm wrong. Get behind me, Satan. Go tell her that I'm wrong when I know that I'm right. I mean, I'm right about this issue. In my mind, I'm right. And the Lord said, you asked me restore your relationship. Go tell her you're wrong. I said, but God, why would you have me lie? I'm not wrong. That's not you. That can't be you. And God said, which is more important? Which is more important to you? See, I'm on my knees begging God to restore our relationship. And God says, which is more important to you? That you be right or that your relationship be restored? Ding, ding, ding. I had a big light bulb moment. This issue that we were arguing over was nothing. It meant nothing in the fullness of the scope of our relationship. It meant nothing. So I prayed a lot longer and to work up the strength to go do this. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and apologize and tell her I'm wrong. Those words are going to come out of my mouth. So I did that. I went and I said, honey. She goes, yeah. Short and curt, you know. I need to tell you that I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And, you know, I did that with the intention that she was going to say to me, oh, it's okay. I'm the one that's wrong. And we would both confess how wrong we were, and our relationship would be so much better, da 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 da. And when I said, honey, I'm wrong, please forgive me, I'm sorry, she said, okay. With all the love that I was expecting to receive in that moment, not even close. And I was so angry. Anger jumped back up inside of me. I mean, I didn't know where it went, but it was there again. And it came back, and I was ready to fight. And I just remember the Holy Spirit grabbing me and saying, that's it. Nothing else. And I walked out of the room, and I went back to the Lord, and I said, God, this isn't right. this isn't right. I said, I don't understand why this is happening. You told me to tell her I was wrong, and she just said, yeah, you are. And God said, but your relationship is restored. And that he was not wrong about. You know, God never let me get the satisfaction of ever hearing her say that she was wrong too in that situation. She has humbly said that many times over in our relationship. Please don't get me wrong about that. But in that instance, that did not happen. And God taught me a very valuable lesson. The reality is this: it is more important to lay my desire to be right down and then to lose my relationship. I need my relationship over my desire to be right. And so many times we think it's wrong. Now I want to say something, I want to clarify something right now. God never expects that your relationships, your unity, will be restored at the cost of his truth. Relationships don't get restored at the cost of this right here. But they will always, always cost you your pride. Always. Relationships must cost you. If you want your relationship restored, if you want right relationship in whatever it is, your household, your friendships, it's going to have to cost you your pride. It's going to come at that cost. It's not this truth. When God says, work, live at peace with everyone, he does not want you to throw this away for the sake of a relationship. Let me tell you, the church has been doing that a lot lately. I pray not the gathering, but we don't want to throw away truth for the sake of relationships, ever. What? Let's be serious. Let's be real. There's a lot of minors that are getting a lot of major attention. In all relationships, this is what the devil does. He wants us to focus on minors and cause those things to become the most important thing in the world. And really, it's rooted in our pride. It's rooted in what we want and what we think is best, not what God says. The issue is that we must work for peace. We must do it at the cost of our pride. We must walk in humility. Isaiah 55:12 says that we are to be led forth with peace. We're to be led forth with peace. So I think if God is the one who, you know, that he originates peace within us, our relationship being restored to him gives us peace, which, by the way, we are body, soul, and spirit. And the place where God initiates this peace is when he comes in and his spirit joins together with our spirit, and we become one with him. And when we live in the spirit, we have the spirit. When we live in the spirit, his spirit is what rules in our hearts. And listen, if the spirit of peace, which rules in our hearts, goes missing, if he goes missing in any situation, that should be a big old flashing red light shining in your face. If the spirit of peace that is joined together with your heart in your relationship with God is not, you're not feeling, you're not experiencing him, and you're getting all kinds of anxiousness going on, then something has happened. Something drastically wrong has happened. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live. There are things that grieve the Holy Spirit, which cause the peace of God to be exited, you know, to be lost. You know, sometimes we do this in our relationships, and we say things that we shouldn't say, and suddenly, if you just pay attention, if you just pay attention for a moment, suddenly you'll realize the peace went missing. You know, you walk away from a situation, you just did something, or you said something, or whatever it was, you walk away from that, and suddenly you realize, man, I feel dirty. I feel sick inside. What is that? That is the peace went bye-bye. And why did the peace leave? Why did the peace go? Because God does not have fellowship with darkness. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. There's a loss of the Spirit's approval in that. And he's saying, listen, I'm not in that. I am not in that. And when we lose that, we should go, okay, what is it? What did I do? Where did I go wrong? God isn't kicking us to the curb, but when that happens, that's his way of bringing conviction, bringing light to us where we have gone off into darkness, we looked another way. And I want you to understand, this is how God speaks to us, leads us. We're to be led forth with peace. And I believe this with all my heart. When the peace is gone, we ought to recognize we somehow grieved God. We grieved the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You know, I'm going to tell another story on my wife. Not me. Still on her. No. It's on both of us. So one time I was... And I have another argument over something that it was stupid, probably. But I was angry. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you just, yeah, I don't know, you had a bad day or whatever, and so you're not paying attention, you're not really walking closely with the Lord in your heart, you know, in your mind. And so anyway, I was just having a moment where I was getting into the flesh, and she happened to be the target. And so I was trying to stir up a fight, an argument with her. And I went after her. I said something nasty to her. And when I said this mean thing, I just remember that she didn't respond the way that I had initially thought that she was going to. I wanted her to fight back. I wanted a fight because I was mad and I wanted to take it out on somebody. I wanted this fight. And instead of getting a fight, you know what I got? I got, because I was accusing her of something, I got, yes, you might be right. I'll have to pray about that. And it's true. Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And there I was swallowing my tongue and my pride at the same time. And I didn't know what to say because I was like, I was angry. And then she just deflated the whole thing because she admitted that, yes, I could be wrong. This could be an issue with me. And the issue is this, is that we're back to humility again. Works both ways. Whether you're the assailant, or you're the person, you know, defending yourself, whatever, whichever side you're on, it doesn't matter. Humility is the answer. It's the key. And I want to say that we have to be led forth with peace. And the thing is, in that situation, she remained in peace, but I did not. She remained in the peace of the Spirit of God and being led forth with peace. She allowed the peace to remain where I could have easily, I was trying to stir up her flesh. I was trying to stir up the enemy. And the reality is, we do this all the time, either way. When we're in high-pressure situations, when people are accusing us or they're saying things about us or whatever, which, by the way, that happens a lot, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, it's going to happen. Paul said this. He said, you know, if you want to follow Christ, you will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. The question is, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to walk in the peace of Christ? Are you going to throw that away and operate in the flesh? And I want to say this. For all of these things to happen, we have to remain in Him. We have to remain in His Spirit. So there's going to be temptations to... Whether you're having a bad day or whatever, we got to remain in Him. I loved your example, Bobby. You know, the truth is that she had all of these things, all the pressures of the day. How am I going to... She could have been mad at her husband. Where's he at? Why isn't he helping me? She could have been mad because, you know, she just doesn't have enough time. Irritable because what am I going to do? Fretting, anxious. Could have been all of these things, but instead she wasn't worried about it. And God took care of it all. And the truth is, this is how we tend to operate. We slip off the road of peace into the ditch of anxiousness and anxiety and fear and worry and anger and resentment and jealousy and pride. All of these things, we've got to stay in His peace. And the only way we're going to do that is if we keep our relationship tight with Him. Because that's where peace comes from. So all of our relationships funnel down from there. There's no other way. our prayer life, if our time in the Word isn't happening, it's going to be a lot easier to smack people around, I'm telling you. With our words, the way that we talk, the way that we look at people. I mean, people need peace really, really bad. You know, we live in a day where I don't remember it being like this. I go to Walmart or public places, and man, I just don't understand. I try to smile at people, and people are like, "What the heck's wrong with you?" Nobody will look you in the face. People will cut you off. People were angry. People were depressed and heavy. And everybody has their own thing that they want and they need and all of these things. And it's just, I feel yuck. And it makes me want to break out the boxing gloves. You know, I'm ready to pound somebody because I don't understand how we live in a society. How did we get like this? But the truth is, humility, staying close to the Lord, keeping His peace in my heart. By the way, His joy, His love, all of those other things follow. They come from a relationship with Him. So that whenever I'm in those places, I can love people when they treat me like dirt. When they treat you like dirt, can you love them? Those are sometimes difficult, but maybe they're easier than the people that we know best. People that we're closest to. We're to be led forth with His peace. Be led forth with peace. So I just want to say, again, we're in a series on relationships. This is the foundation for all relationships. It's foundation. We love people because He loved us. We love because He first loved us. We have peace because He gives us peace. And because we have peace, we sow seeds of peace. Amen? Amen. Would you all stand? Father in heaven, we openly admit before You that we have not gotten it all right. We have messed up time and time again. Sometimes on the very same issue, we have messed up many, multiple times. Lord, sometimes thousands of times people have messed up. There's no way to quantify it. Lord, we recognize that in light of a holy God, we're nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. But Lord, it is only what You have made us through Your sacrifice. It is only what You have given to us through the redemptive work on the cross. It is only You. It's always only You. And because of what You've done, You have made us new, and we are made holy, and we are made righteous. It is not by our good works that any man should boast. So Lord, we do ask You this morning that You would forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our sin. And Lord, if we have somewhere along the line stepped out of peace with You, because You give us peace, if we have done something or said something we shouldn't have, if we've stepped into sin, whatever it is, Lord, if You reveal it to us, make it known to us, that we might repent of that specifically and have peace restored in our relationship with You. With your eyes closed, if there's anyone here today who has never had the peace of God in their heart, never have given Christ the opportunity to do that, to give you peace, because you have never surrendered your life to Him, you have never confessed your sin to Him, if you have not done that, then I want to give you the opportunity today. Today is the day. Don't wait another minute. He wants to give you His peace. He wants to give you His salvation. All it takes is for you to say, "I'm wrong. I've sinned. You are holy. You are righteous. And I need Your sacrifice. I need You, Jesus." Just make that your simple prayer. I need forgiveness, God. And so, Lord, right now, for everyone who is praying that prayer and everyone who has said, God, I have somehow stepped away from your peace, whoever has said that, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I just ask that your peace would descend in this place right now, that you would fill every heart with your peace. God, you are a shelter from the storm. When people accuse us, or use us, or abuse us, or whatever it is, you are a shelter from the storm. The enemy stirs our flesh. It's only you that can give us peace. And so, Lord, we look to heaven. We look to our Father God to impart to us the security of who you are, that we don't have to scratch and claw and fight to get things that we think we want, because we have a good Father who takes care of all of our needs, who meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory, who is our protection, who is our defender. We look to you, God, and we ask that you would be the one to give us peace here today. So Holy Spirit, just come and minister peace to each person in this place. And Lord, I pray that out of peace, God, we would have gentle answers to turn away wrath. That out of peace, God, we would bind the enemy and cast out all demonic activity. Lord, out of your peace, God, we would walk in your wisdom. And God, when we lose your peace because we've stepped outside of your will, Lord, then help us to be quick to repent. Help us to be quick to recognize it and to humble ourselves. God, let humility rule in our hearts. God, that we would walk in humility. That we wouldn't think we know it all. That we wouldn't think we're the most important thing. That our ideas aren't the most important. But God, that we would love one another and lay down our lives for one another in humility. And God, I pray over this next several weeks, this series, that you would bless it. You would cause there to be great fruit as we talk about relationships. God, may you win. May you win in every situation that we face. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.